So thankful for the wonderful hope that we have this morning. And as I sought the Lord the last couple of weeks, asking Him what He would have for Resurrection Sunday, the Lord inspired me with something that has lied very close to my heart. It's nothing new. It's an old, old story. But it's something that I think one of my nieces made the comment one time that she, something about knowing Uncle Michael would bring out this about what I'm going to share with you this morning. So I know I've shared some of these thoughts with the local congregation before in other places, but I didn't get out my old dusty notes. It was a re-inspired message from the Lord this morning. There are many beautiful messages that could be preached about the resurrection today, because it's wonderful to serve a risen Lord. Millions of people are worshiping and serving invented gods and following after spiritual and ideologies, but we serve and we pray and we worship a risen Lord Jesus this morning. All of the prophets of the past of different religions and different faiths and different philosophies, they're still in the tomb, but our Savior this morning rose from the dead, and He is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. But not only is He sitting when we get in trouble, He's standing up. Just like when Stephen was being stoned and he had a heart of forgiveness, and right in the middle of persecution and death, he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. So I believe as our world is in trouble this morning, Jesus is not sitting down by the throne of God. Jesus is standing up and He's watching over His children. He's interceding for us in our struggles and in the problems of our world. So I thank God for a risen Lord. The message this morning is entitled The Emmaus Road. And I'd like to begin this morning in Luke in the 24th chapter, and that is where the message, we're going to read some of the verses out of Luke 24 this morning. We'll begin reading with verse 1. It said, upon the first day of the week. Now that was early Sunday morning. It said, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. This was speaking about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was the one that had the evil spirits that Jesus cast out of her. And there was another Mary, which recorded one of the other gospels, the other Mary, that was the mother of James and Mark, and there were some others with them, and they came early in the morning because, see, Jesus had been crucified. He had been put in the tomb, and they may have not known, the Marys may have not known that the Roman soldiers had sealed up the tomb, because they came with spices to anoint and to embalm the body of Jesus Christ. And we know from the other records that Jesus that had been sealed in the tomb and a guard had been set. But that's for another message. But in this recording here in Luke, the women came and they came expecting to find the body of Christ. And they came really in essence in one of the other records that said they came to mourn. And they came to weep because Christ was the one that they had placed all of their hopes in. And they put their dreams and they followed Him for 3.5 years. So they came broken in heart. They came disappointed. They came with dashed spirits because the man called Jesus, the one that they had loved and served and followed, he was dead. And so their hopes for victory and for deliverance were dashed. They had invested themselves in the message of this man called Jesus, but he'd been beaten, he'd been crucified, and been put in the tomb. So it seemed like it was over. So they came early that morning to find and mourn for that man called Jesus, who had given sight to the blind, This man who had made the lame to walk. This man who had cast out devils and raised even the dead to life again. This man who the scripture said did many mighty works and healed all manner of disease. This man called Jesus who professed, whether or not you believed it, he professed to be the Son of God. This preacher of righteousness who taught people to love their enemies. He taught them to turn the other cheek when they were persecuted. He taught them to forgive. He taught them to love God with all of their heart. He preached a message of repentance. Don't stay in your sin, but repent, turn away from it, and follow me. This prophet of God taught that the kingdom of God was not a literal kingdom. He taught that the kingdom of God was something spiritual that was within. This man, this lowly servant of God, was now dead. And this is who they came to the tomb early Sunday morning to mourn. And I am so thankful the story does not end in weeping. It said they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed. In other words, it didn't make sense, because they came expecting to find the Lord, and the Lord wasn't there. And is not it true this morning that sometimes we go to certain places in life and we expect to find the Lord, and He's not there? And they did not understand. They were perplexed. And then it said there beheld two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why are you seeking the living? And in one of the accounts, it said that the angels asked them, as did Jesus later, he asked them a question, and he said, why weepest thou? The angels asked these women that were coming to weep and mourn because Christ was dead. They said, why are you weeping? And I believe it's a fair question for us still this morning. Why are you weeping? What is it that's troubling you today? Why seek ye the living among the dead? And the angels went on to say, for he is not here, but he is risen. Do you remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? In other words, he was refreshing their mind. He said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. There was something they had about it, that they had seen his greatness. They'd seen the miracles of Christ. But after he died, it was like it was over in their minds. It was finished. But when they came looking for Jesus and the angels reminded them, do you not remember that he told you he would rise again? I am so thankful that those words are still true today. But this is what happened. It said they returned from the sepulcher and told all of these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And it said their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. In other words, the women came and they said, listen, Jesus was not there. His body was gone, and we saw some angels, and the good news was that Jesus has risen from the dead. But the 11 did not believe. It was just an idle tale. You know, this morning there are still many people in our world today that do not believe. They believe that this is just an idle tale. Because we saw him die. We saw him put in the tomb. We knew he wasn't there. But that again is not the end of the story. We'll move down to verse 13. This is after they received the news that Jesus had risen from the dead, and they didn't believe. It said, behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Now, there is debate about which two disciples this were. It seems evident one of them later on, it tells us that one of them was Cleopas, so it was not one of the 12. And then there's some discussion and historical debate about who the second one was. There are some that believe it was Luke. And there are a few other historians that think it could have been Peter. I think a lot of evidence pointed to possibly Luke being the one that was there. But regardless, these are two men that have followed Christ. These are two people that have forsaken all to invest themselves in the gospel and the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so then they begin to leave. They left Jerusalem. They left their fellowship. I want us to keep this in mind. They were disappointed. They were discouraged. They had lost their hope. And so what they did was they walked away from the fellowship of the other followers of Christ. And I have no condemnation on those that have done that. This is exactly where these two were. Emmaus was 7.5 miles from Jerusalem. It's a village. There in the scripture, there are certain cities that have great significance. When we talk about Jerusalem, that was the center of worship. It was where the temple was. It was where a lot of the activity of Christ was at Jerusalem. It's where he died. It's where it's where he rose from the dead. But when we talk about Jerusalem in the scripture, it also refers to the church. Jerusalem as being the church. And so we find that Emmaus does not really have any significance. In Smith's Bible Dictionary, it said that the site of Emmaus remains yet to be identified. In other words, we don't even really know now where it is. The scripture says it was 7.5 miles away. So if we want to look back and say these men were, possibly they were going back home. They weren't staying in Jerusalem. They were going back home. They were going back to what they were used to. They were coming to where they had come from. They were retreating from how life had been, possibly for the last 3.5 years. And I don't think these two men had a spring in their step anymore. They were alone. They were possibly without purpose. And I looked up another definition of Emmaus, the word itself, and it means obscurity. They were leaving Jerusalem that had great spiritual significance, walking down the road of obscurity. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know necessarily where I'm going to end up. But I'm walking away from where I last saw Jesus Christ because I've lost my hope. And so they retreated. And as they read down through, it said, as they walked along, they talked of the things that had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were beholden that they should not know him. And he said, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? In other words, what are you talking about? Why are you sad? What's the matter? And one of them whose name was Cleopas answered and said, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem and hast thou not known the things which are come to pass? In other words, where have you been? You ought to know, if you've been around, you would know why we're sad and you would know what we're talking about. And Jesus said, what things? Do we really think that Jesus didn't know? Do you know many times in our questions and in our grief and in our despair and in our hopelessness, the Lord does not start off with all of the answers. He comes along and he walks with us and he says, what's the matter? Where are you going? Why are you sad? And you say, well, Lord, you know. I mean, don't you know what's bothering me? And the Lord said, what things? You know, talk to me. You know, the Lord wants us to talk to him this morning. It's all right to open up and be vulnerable with the Lord this morning. And they began to talk to him and they said concerning Jesus of Nazareth. See, they didn't understand. They didn't see Jesus for who he really was at this place. He said he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God, and all the people and the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death. But, and we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all of this, today is the third day since these things were done. And some women came, and I'm paraphrasing here, some women came and went early to the sepulcher, and they didn't find his body, and they came and they told us that he was alive, and certain of them which were with us, they went to the sepulcher, and the body wasn't there, but they didn't see Jesus. And so, we're walking to Emmaus. There's really no point to stay in Jerusalem. I know people are saying that he rose from the dead, but we didn't see him. We went and looked, and he wasn't there. And so we're walking away, and that's why we're sad this morning. That's why we're going back home. It's why we're leaving fellowship with God's people. It's why I'm not sure there was really anything yet to this, because see, our hope was that this was going to be the one that would deliver us, but he's dead. And it seems like that this turned into a fairy tale like so many other things in life that we put our hopes in. And then through time, things don't work out. People let us down. People that say they're following the Lord, they disappoint us. And there's really not a lot to this. So we're going to go back home. We're going to retreat. And then Jesus said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And then at the beginning it says of Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scripture, the things concerning himself. Jesus went through what we now call the Old Testament, and he began to pull out all of the prophecies about Christ and what he came to do, about his death, the things that were prophesied of his birth and of his death. And I believe this morning he gave the prophecies of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And they got close to the village where they were going, and Jesus acted like he was just going to keep on walking. And it said they constrained him and said, "Abide with us," because it's toward evening and the day is far spent. And Jesus went in to tarry with them. I want us to take note, when Jesus began to minister to them, they didn't even recognize that it was the Lord. But Jesus did not at the beginning say, "Hey, let's go back to Jerusalem." He didn't pull on their arm and tell them, "Let's go back the other direction." They were walking a road of obscurity, and Jesus walked with them down that road. I am so thankful this morning that Jesus is still, because he's been resurrected, that he is still willing, when we walk away from Jerusalem, he's not willing to let us go. He is not willing to let us go on without hope, but he's willing to walk down the Emmaus road, and he's willing to talk to us, and he's willing to listen to us. What's troubling you? Why are you hurt? Why have you lost hope? And then he starts to minister, and he starts to commune. And when we say, "Oh, that, I feel something inside. I don't want this to leave. I don't want things to change. I'm feeling better about what's happening." And Jesus stayed right with them. And it said then that it came to pass, he sat at meat with them, and he took bread and blessed it. You know, the last time they saw Jesus taking bread, and I know he was with his 12 when he did this, but he took that bread and he broke it. He blessed it and he broke it. That was before his body was broken. And yet here we find Jesus doing this again. And when he did it, it said their eyes were opened and they knew him. Surely this was the Lord. I didn't recognize him. You know, sometimes Jesus himself, he masks who he really is from us, because he wants to get down to the deepest places of our life. And it said their eyes were open, they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? They didn't believe it, but folks, Jesus took time to encourage their faith. And there are times in life that we too might begin to lose faith. And Jesus is not ready with a sword raised ready to cut us off. He is not, nor is he willing to watch us walk away. He wants to walk down our Emmaus road. And I trust that there are many that are really encouraged this morning because, see, it's Resurrection Sunday. Jesus is risen from the dead. He's our hope. That we sang this song, from death to life. We're so thankful that he lifted us out of death and from sin and he gave his victory. But it is also true, and I will be the first one to acknowledge it, even after I was saved, I've walked some roads to Emmaus. Times that I was disappointed. Times I was disappointed in people. And you know, sometimes you'll be disappointed by ministers. You might be disappointed by God's people. You can be disappointed with yourself. You can have personal failures. And in your disappointment, you can start walking away from the place where you last saw the Lord. Disappointed, discouraged, without hope, maybe because of failure. Maybe you thought life would turn out differently. I know that people, they place their lives, maybe they say, you know what, my job hasn't turned out like I wanted. My life, it seems like it's been turned upside down. People in marriages this morning that it just seems like that it's just tough. And it seems like all of the purposes and the dreams that we thought we had when we got married, that it's just not coming to fruition. And the temptation is to walk away. But that's not what the Lord wants this morning. In whatever places of disappointment or heartache that there has been, the Lord wants to walk down the road to Emmaus with us. If you're wandering aimlessly, maybe you don't even know where you're going today. The Lord wants to come and he wants to walk with you. There's a song, and I won't attempt to sing it, but I'd like to read part of it. Who is Jesus Christ? The question echoes down Emmaus Road, dead or raised to life. The same doubt spoken first so long ago when a stranger came to two men on their journey, and it was not long before their broken hearts were burning. And this is part of the message the Lord wants us to get this morning. Somewhere between where you are and Emmaus, a stranger wants to come and walk with you. Somewhere along the way, your heart will be burning, drawn into the holy flame of truth. I've been so encouraged so many different times in my life when I was disappointed and things seemed to be dark, that the Lord Jesus came and he walked with me down Emmaus Road. And when he did that, and our eyes were opened, and revelation came, take note of what happened to these men when they saw Jesus for who it was. It said they rose up the same hour. The same hour they rose and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. And he appeared to Simon, and they began to tell them what the Lord had told them. Do you know this morning where there had been despair, there was hope. Jesus took their grief and he turned it into joy. He took their disappointment and he turned it into celebration. And that is one of the things that we rejoice in this morning, that Jesus is not dead. He has risen from the dead, and in the places, in the darkest times, and in the places of discouragement and despondency, the Lord Jesus wants to come and he wants to walk with us down Emmaus Road. So when the Lord begins to reveal himself to us, he wants us also to turn around. I can't keep going down this road, because do you know when we walk away from fellowship of God's people, it's going to take us to a very lonely place. When we walk away from the truth of God's word, Jesus wants to come and walk with us. He doesn't want to cut us off. If you've been disappointed, if you feel like you've been let down, if you've been hurt, if I've done something as a minister, as a pastor, if other ministers, you feel like, well, they just didn't handle that right, or the ministry, or the church, or this, or that. You know, we're all people. We're all human. We all have personalities. But folks, when we get a vision of Jesus Christ, and we get a vision, we need that fellowship one with another. We have the Lord wants to come that we can turn around and go back and have fellowship, saying the Lord is risen and this is right and this is true. And it seems like something the enemy tries to do when we get in a place of discouragement, he tries to make us feel like there's no way back. If I've walked away, how can I ever come back? Isn't there some shame associated with that? There is no shame this morning, because all of us have been on Emmaus Road. Some of us have gotten further down the road than others. But I am so thankful that because Jesus is risen from the dead, He wants to walk with us down Emmaus Road. He's not going to force us to turn around. But eventually, when our heart starts to burn and I recognize this is truth and this is right and those are God's people and I can live victoriously because Jesus is alive, I want to go back. My hope restored, and there are still going to be some tough things to face in life, but we can face uncertain days. Why? Because He lives. Because He lives this morning, we can face uncertain days. So God bless each one of you this morning. And we have so much to rejoice in. We have so much to thank the Lord for. An empty tomb. Jesus is risen from the dead. But if you don't need this message this morning, there's going to come a time and you might just meet me on Emmaus Road. And we can talk as we walk down that road. But I want us to know, if you're on that road this morning, somewhere between where you are and that destination of obscurity and loneliness and despair and discouragement, the Savior wants to come and He wants to walk with you and renew your courage and renew your hope, that the spring will be put back in your step because Jesus is alive. May the Lord bless each one of you is my prayer. Amen.